So, I just want to share. I feel like I should share a picture that I got prior to, like, as we were worshiping, and it was a picture of. I had a clear picture of a highway. There was snow all around, but this black highway, and it was totally clear. But it was clear because there was a horse and chariot driving on the highway, and it was the Lord. And he was making it clear. It was easy. It was just like as he was driving along the highway, the snow was melting, the highway was totally clear. It was like effortless. And then there was a picture of a snow clearer. And it was clearing this big pile of snow, and it took a lot of effort. And the snow was piling up in front of it until it totally stopped. And I felt like that was a picture this morning, specifically as we talk about intercession, is that with the Lord, it's easy. As we, in our human effort, try to make it happen, it's kind of like that bulldozer. We get stuck in the snow, and we can never clear the path the way that Jesus can clear the path. So, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the ways that you call us in intercession and the ways that you clear the path for us, the ways that you make a way where there's barren places or where it's terribly cold. You make that path and it's easy. So help us trust you in this whole area of intercession. Amen. So I'm talking about intercession, and I was trying to find a title. That's always probably my hardest thing. We're talking about personal intercession, but I feel like it's a sacrifice. That's kind of like the subtitle. And I want to begin by saying that for me, when I think of the word intercession, it used to be a word that was pretty daunting to me. I heard the word and it was like, whew, that's a daunting thing, intercession. You see, I never grew up with the word intercession being used in my life. I heard people say they were praying for others or they were concerting more prayer, concentrating more on prayer on behalf of others. And when I worked for Living Waters, I used contemplative and listening prayer on a pretty regular basis. So when I began hearing the word intercession and intercessory prayer, I primarily viewed it as a gift given to the select few. And I wasn't the select few. And so maybe I was off the hook. And yet God began to speak to me about intercession. And I had to be honest about the fact that I didn't know a lot about intercession. So this morning you may feel the same way about intercession, or you may be well-versed in personal intercession, but we want to welcome you to walk together as we talk about what it means to intercede on a personal level. Webster's Online Dictionary states that intercession is the act of interceding. It's prayer, petition, or entreaty in favor of another. That seems pretty straightforward if you think about it. It's an act of interceding. Then I was thinking about what is interceding? Interceding is to plead on another's behalf and to act as mediator in a dispute. Pleading to God on another person's behalf doesn't sound too difficult or hard. It doesn't sound too daunting, nor does it sound much like a gift given to just a chosen few people. Rather, it sounds like something that each one of us is called to walk in it in our daily lives. Ephesians 6:18 reads, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the people." And 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 6 says, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." And finally, in the Message, John 15:7, "I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined in me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you cannot produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is: when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples." And this is where I'd like to camp this morning, in John 15:7, in the whole area of abiding in him as it pertains to intercession. This week I began reading the biography titled Rees Howell, Intercessor. Brad told me I should read the book, or encouraged me to. And if anyone is interested in the book, you can download a free copy, by the way, on the internet. And you can see me afterwards. I have the link. And as I was starting to read it, someone told me that it inspired them in their early years of learning about intercession and prayer. Another person told me it's been shaking them up in all areas of their life. And as I've been reading, it has begun to challenge me on many levels as it comes to intercession. I shared with Paula this week that it doesn't feel inspirational yet, this book, but it feels much like a death of my flesh. And I truly believe that this is one area of what it means to abide in God and to obey God in all he asks of us, and the call to intercession. Last year, we spent a lot of time talking about the call to abide in God, and we talked about, we walked through John, and this morning, we keep all of what we've learned in us about staying in the vine, which is Jesus. And I want to talk about three areas that I feel are necessary as we begin talking about intercession, and specifically as we walk in personal intercession. So the first step is dying to self. Intercession is not about us. And my quotes underneath is, "Oh yeah, you didn't see that one coming, did you?" Yep, dying to self. I said to Michelle this morning, I think maybe I'll be known as the elder who keeps pushing dying to self. But I think it's one of the first steps of intercession. We can't go around seeking intercession, but rather it is a commissioning of the Spirit of God. You see, I don't think intercession is about self-effort. It's kind of like that bulldozer pushing the pile of snow. It's not about what we can do. Human effort has no place in intercession. It's the working of the Holy Spirit in us that directs us to intercession. To partner with the things the Holy Spirit brings up in our lives and are called to abide and obey him. We are called to count the cost of walking with the Lord, not just in intercession, but in all areas of our spiritual lives. And this is much like Jesus in Gethsemane. I was given that picture when I was preparing. Is Jesus was counting the cost of the cross and cried out to the Father. He knew that the ultimate sacrifice was his death, and we are all called to die to self and take up the cross. Jesus is the one true intercessor. He sits at the right hand of the Father, constantly making intercession for us. The great men of the Bible who prayed for their people eventually died in the flesh. Death ended their prayers. The Lord Jesus also died, but he rose again and he lives today. And he is constantly and continually praying to those who belong to him. The word says in Hebrews 7:2 that he ever lives to make intercession for them. So he's constantly making intercession for us. He's standing in the gap of all the gaps that we have in our life. The Lord is standing in that place for us. And I think this is the hardest place to begin dying to self. Seriously, how many of us truly want to die to our flesh? I know this is a huge struggle for me. I'm not preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to myself. Because it means sacrifice. It's constantly laying down my life. And yet this call to death is of self is ultimately the only way that we make room for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And ultimately the Holy Spirit using us in intercession. This week as I was in worship and reading, I felt the Holy Spirit convict me in this area specifically. Yet it was the kindness of the rebuke of the Lord that brought me to my knees. You see, I felt as if the Holy Spirit was asking me to be honest in this place, and I repented of allowing so many things to take up room in his house. In other words, the things in me, his temple, because he's dwelling here. And so you know the song, it's a pretty simple song, but the song, "Hungry I Come to You, for I know you satisfy. I'm empty, but I know your love does not run dry." So I was playing that here in the sanctuary, and I heard in my spirit the words, "You don't mean that." And I, you know, get that sinking feeling, "Oh, I don't mean that." But I kept singing it over and over. And I felt the Spirit say, "You don't mean that. Sing it again and be honest with me." And what came out was this. And I'll just read parts of it. "I am full, but I'm hungry, and I heard you satisfy. I am full, but I've heard your love does not run dry. And so you wait for me. And so you wait for me like a loving father waits for his child. Because I want to fall on my knees and I want to offer all of me, but I'm afraid of the cost. What will I have to give up if I offer all of me? Oh, Jesus, afraid of what the cost will be. I'm afraid of dying to all my dreams. I just want to be honest, Lord, because I want to fall on my knees. I want to offer all of me, and I want to say that my heart is only living for you and not for me. I'm afraid of what that looks like on the inside, afraid of what that will look on the outside, but I know that you are good and you will wait for me. So I'm full and I'm hungry. I know you satisfy me, but I'm empty and I've heard your love does not run dry. But I fill my life with everything but you, and I fill my life with everything but you. I don't want to be broken, so I fix my life on my own. But I'm weary because of all the things I run to apart from you. Help me fall on my knees and help me to offer all of me. And I live for so many things but you. And I know I'm broken and your arms are open wide. I know I'm weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So Lord, I'm hungry and I come to you because you satisfy me. I'm empty and I know your love does not run dry. So you wait for me, and so you wait for me." I think the first part of dying to self in intercession is abiding and obeying, but it's a call to honesty with the Lord. That's the first step of dying to self, and I think it's okay to be honest with God. I felt like this week God was saying, you know what, it's okay to be honest with me. It's okay to wrestle with the call to lay everything down. I felt I was wrecked. I came home to Paul and I was like weeping and I was like, I'm wrecked with the Lord and what he's calling me, because he's saying, are you really ready to die to everything, Kenny? Are you ready to die to every dream that you have? Every dream that you have now for your future, for your family, are you ready to every dream to die, every hope to die, every security, every comfort, every pleasure, so that the Holy Spirit can move and direct my steps toward intercession and toward others? Personally, this is a cost, and I'm beginning to see it's okay to take time to wrestle with this dynamic and ultimately grieve the loss of my rights. And I think it's good to be able to grieve the loss of our rights. Was Jesus in Gethsemane grieving the loss of his rights as he counted the cost of the cross? And I'm beginning to see that this loss is a place of life. As we die, we pick up life. John 10:10 reads, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So there's a promise, a great treasure in laying down our lives and taking up the cross and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and direct me in intercession. Number two, a call to faith, trust, a restful life. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Take the first step of faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step." Oh, that was a brilliant thing. This is true in the whole area of intercession. You may not have the full story of why you're interceding, nor know the final outcome, but the Holy Spirit may drop only one word or sentence or a name to you, and it's taken the first step of faith in prayer. As you pray, the Holy Spirit will take you from one step to the next. He's revealing the ladder and the staircase to you, and he'll reveal more to you as you take that first step in intercession. Again, it's not about our human effort. It's not a race to get up the staircase as fast as you can to get the answer or why you're praying, but rather it's a continual journey, step by step, as we pray, enduring the process with the Lord. It's giving up the control and trusting in faith that God is up to something far bigger than we can comprehend and is asking us to partner with the Holy Spirit that calls us his resting place. He finds his rest in us. The Holy Spirit will direct our steps in prayer, not us directing the Holy Spirit. We can't direct him. For years, I've been going about my day, and someone would come to my mind. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, that you're going through your day, and someone comes to your mind, and you begin thinking about that person, or maybe the things that they did or didn't do to you, or something, maybe something negatively or something positively, but we begin thinking about this person and this scenario. And I'd find myself at times playing over and over scenarios with the person or interactions that had happened in my life. And I didn't really think anything of it. You know, then the thought goes away and go on with your day, or another person creeps into your mind and you think about that person. And initially I chalked this up to just me and my memories and with little regard. I don't know if that's ever, you guys ever have that to happen. Until someone spoke about intercession with me and the Holy Spirit. They shared that it's no accident that people come to our mind, but rather, could this be the Holy Spirit bringing the person to your mind? Because they need prayer. And so now this is a reminder for me that I can intercede on behalf of another person when they come to my mind. And I'm honest, I don't, it's not the first reaction all the time, but sometimes I just say a brief prayer of blessing and encouragement. And sometimes I'm brought into a deeper and more profound posture of intercession for the person, praying specific things over the person. I may have no clue as to why or what is happening in the spirit realm, but I know that it isn't an accident or just my memory that brought the person to mind. In this place, I can rest assured that the Holy Spirit is moving and is up to something, and it's pretty exciting. Which moves on to number three. Keeping it quiet. I think, excuse me, I've got a terrible sore throat, so keeping it quiet. Maybe that's why I have a sore throat. Waiting and praying with what we hear. In the midst of hearing from the Holy Spirit, we may get words or visions for someone. And this doesn't necessarily mean that you share it with a person right away. But first, does it encourage and build them up? If it's a word of caution, it may mean that you begin to pray for the person, that their eyes would be opened to the Lord's leading. The Holy Spirit may be directing you to intercede for a person who has yet been enlightened to what God is up to. And I believe this is more often the case than not. There are times when I'm wrestling through a situation and it's challenging, and I finally get a breakthrough. Then someone who is unaware of my struggle comes up to me and tells me that they've been praying specifically for me. Or I will sense someone has a word for me, and I will ask the person directly what the word is that God is speaking to them about. See, the enemy is constantly trying to discourage us and take us out. He really, that's his weapon, to discourage us. And he will use our humanness to do it. That's why I believe it's very important as we intercede and we feel we have a word for someone that we sit on it and wait with the Lord. Trusting that if we never share it with the person, that God is big enough to speak to the person on our behalf. Recently, someone I respect as an intercessor needed a ride, and Paula and I offered to take them home. And as we were driving, I felt compelled to share a personal prayer item with them. And it was something that I was sitting on for a long time, something that I've been praying with the Lord about, probably for about half a year. And I really hadn't even shared it with Paula. It was so personal. And because it had to do with hoping for an answer for a specific request. And the car got really quiet after I shared it. And I was like, oh. And the intercessor then shared that they had received a word for us, which spoke directly to this very prayer request. And they felt they could not share it until the time was right. And they had received this word way before I even started praying about this request. So it was over half a year. So they waited in faithful trust in the Lord for the right timing. And it was the perfect time, and it brought hope and encouragement to us. If they had shared this prior to our readiness to receive it, it would have been discouraging news. So in the midst of personal intercession, heed the words from Psalm 141:3, which is, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." The Holy Spirit will direct our steps, and as we get more aware of the Holy Spirit's leading, we will know when to speak and when to be quiet. And this brings us back to the beginning of dying to self. The more we lay down, meaning ourselves and the things in our lives, the easier it is to hear the Holy Spirit, especially as we intercede. It's easier to stay abiding and much easier to obey God and the things he asks of us as we die to self, remembering that it's always for our good. Intercession, then, is petitioning to God on behalf of others. Pretty simple. As we start the new year, may we be reminded of the great need to sacrifice on behalf of others, to stand in the gap and pray without ceasing. And I'd like to play a video. It's about 7 minutes in length. And then I'd like to walk us through a prayer exercise as a body, individually. And so sit back and watch, and hopefully it works.
statement in Isaiah, basically saying the world is falling apart, staring back at Israel, saying judgment is turned away backward and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. What's a God to do? And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. An intercessor basically means one who fills the gap. If you have a walled city and there is a hole in the walled city, there's just this little part that is like broken down. It's like a pile of rubble, and actually you can sneak through it. You know that there's a vulnerability in a time of war? If you have an enemy, what's an enemy looking for? The gate, to try and scale the gate? They're looking for breaches or holes in the wall. They're not stupid. They're not going to waste their time going through the front door when they can go through a side little broken down breach. So the enemy, by his very nature, is constantly watching the integrity of the wall. He's looking for holes. We have massive holes in our life that give the enemy access to do with our life what he sees fit to do. We can say, that's horrible. I'm a Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian with breaches. You are not supposed to be a Christian with breaches. One of the key definitions of Christianity could be a man or a woman whose walls are repaired, who is made strong. Why? So that they are useful to God and they're not just constantly inwardly fighting demons. They can be outward focused. God says to Israel, I will bless you so that you can become a blessing to the nations. God's pattern is to make you strong so that you're useful. There is a hedge that is supposed to be built up around your life, and it very likely isn't. You need a strong man. You need someone who can step in and fight off that enemy to make you strong so that you can start focusing outward instead of on your own issues. Most of us as Christians, the church is so weak because we have literally less than 1% of our time that is able to focus outward because we are so caught up in our issues and our difficulties. Even the healthiest among us, we have issues. We have difficulties, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whether it's health, we have issues. And there's a dying world out there. You know that 150,000 people died and went to hell today? Let's think about this. What did we all do about it? Did we take a step forward in beginning to do something about it? Or are we just stemming the tide from our life falling apart even more than it is? We are living on the defensive instead of the offensive. What we need is the same thing God was looking for back then. The walls are broken down. The city is in disrepair. Israel is without a defender. Where's the intercessor? You know who Jesus Christ was? In a nutshell, he's the intercessor. He's the man who stands in the gap. He's the strong man who came and took the full blow upon himself so that we could gather our wits spiritually and awaken and say, I'm in. Thank you for rescuing me. Literally, he took the blow. Everything that was aimed right at you to absolutely decimate your life, he took it square on. Without even a whimper, he took it. For the joy that was set before him, because he valued you so much, he took the blow. See, one of the things that happens with the life of Jesus, we have a tendency to make him a mousy character. We have a tendency to diminish his manly strength. We are talking about the greatest warrior of all time. In the Old Testament, the term is Lord of Hosts, the captain of captains, the general of generals. And he's a general that led his troops into battle with his own life. He's the one that did it. All the rest of the army was cowering in the background. They couldn't fight this army. And he stood up single-handedly and defeated them. Intercessor, that is our King. In the same way that he stood for you then, I want you to know he still stands for you now. When you behold the cross and you behold the resurrected Christ, and when you behold the ascended Christ who sits at the right hand of the Father, you no longer will just remain where you are. You will say, God, do it all within me. For your glory, make me strong. Make me strong to give. God is looking for an intercessor, someone who will make up this breach. We need to become a body that is thinking about every single one around us, as opposed to ourselves. Coming to church going, I need to be prayed for this week. What about who can I pray for this week? Just a different mindset. It's not what this church can do for you, but what you can do for Jesus Christ and this church. Think of that attitude shift, saying, God, you made this life and you have called me for more than just to save me. You have rescued me so that I could become a rescuer. Who needs rescue? Who needs help? Who needs me to stand in the gap and take the hit? That's the attitude. It's not your skin and how you can save it. It's how you can spend it for His glory.
His glory. For His glory.
So this morning, I want us to spend our life a little bit for others as a body, and I want us to do this individually as we talk about personal prayer. And this is exercise will be intended for you to pray individually, so not with another person. I want you to inwardly take this and pray for somebody. This comes from a prayer book that I got online. And so as I read a phrase, I'll give you a few minutes to pray specifically for someone. And so if you want to get comfortable, you want to move around a little bit or give yourself space, you can. That's totally fine if you want to come on the steps or whatever. But if you can throw the first slide. God of everlasting love, you generously provide all things for us. We pray for people everywhere. Make your way known to them. Your saving power among all nations. So right now, pray specifically for someone you know who is either a prodigal or someone who does not know Jesus. we move on? We pray for the welfare of your church here on earth. Guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace and in righteousness of life. So right now, pray specifically for Trinity Baptist and the citywide church in Winnipeg, and take a couple of minutes. And lastly, we commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed of body, mind, or circumstance. Relieve them according to their needs, give them patience in their sufferings, and deliver them from all their afflictions. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And right now, pray specifically for one person who comes to mind who may be distressed in body, mind, or circumstance. If we can end in a benediction, if you want to stand up and receive a benediction. This is a prayer by Charles Spurgeon. And if you want to receive prayer after the service, feel like if you want encouragement in regards to prayer, you feel you just need a boost, we'd love to pray for you. If you feel like you want to pray for somebody, come to the front. We encourage you to spend your life on others, but also to be receptive of what the Lord wants to give to you. Lord Jesus, take from us now everything that would hinder the closest communion with God. Any wish or desire that might hamper us in prayer, remove, we pray you, any memory of either sorrow or care that might hinder the fixing of our affection wholly on our God. Take it away now. What have we to do with idols anymore? You have seen and observed us. You know where the difficulty lies. Help us against it. And may we now come boldly, not in the holy place alone, but in the holiest of all, where we should not dare to come if our great Lord had not torn the veil. Go in peace today. Amen.